The reading is Psalm 86. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you because you answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realms of the dead. Arrogant foes are attacking me, O God. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. They have no regard for you. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Show your strength on behalf of your servant. Save me, because I serve you just as my mother did. Give me a sign of your goodness, that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word, the Bible, through which you speak to us. Thank you, Father, that you are an almighty God, that we can call to you, and that you are loving and merciful towards us. We pray, Lord, for David as he speaks to us now. We pray that you'll speak through him. And Lord, give us ears to hear and hearts to embrace what you have to say to us this morning. Amen.
I don't know if you've read it. That's better, isn't it? So this is a great book. Don't just stand there, pray something. At the beginning of it, it tells this fantastic true story. The guy, Ronald Dunn, who wrote it, went to speak about prayer at a church, and someone came forward with a testimony of answered prayer. She was a mum of a teenager, and she was making dinner one afternoon when she got a call from the school saying her son was sick. I don't know if some here have ever got that kind of call. So she hops in the car. They say she needs to come pick him up. His fever's high. She thinks, right, just before I go, I'll put a pie in the oven. That'll be ready then when I come back and calculate that. And so she runs in the car to pick up the kid from school. And the nurse at the school says, look, his fever's really bad. You need to go to the doctor. And so she thinks, okay, I'll whiz to the doctor, rushes to the doctor, gets to the doctor, and the doctor says, he's going to need to rest, and then you need a prescription. You just start it straight away. And so she drops the boy back at home, gets straight back in the car, and goes to the chemist to get her prescription. Now, as she comes back to the car, she said she realized that she didn't have the keys. The car was locked, and the keys were locked inside the car at the shopping kind of center. And so then she remembers her pie in the oven, and she thinks, oh no. And she rings her son and says, look, what should I do? And the son says, well, look, you need to get a wire coat hanger, and then you'll be able to open the car door. So she's running around the shopping center trying to find a kind of wire coat hanger, lots of plastic ones, not many wire ones. Eventually, she finds one, and she comes back to the car only to stand there and realize that She doesn't know what to do with the wire coat hanger. And this is where we'll pick up what he says. She stared at the wire coat hanger. I don't know what to do with this. And then she remembered the pie in the oven. All the frustrations of the past hour collapsed on her and she began to cry. And then she prayed, Dear Lord, my boy is sick and he needs this medicine and my pie is in the oven and the keys are locked in the car. And Lord, I don't know what to do with this coat hanger. Dear Lord, send me somebody who does know what to do with it and I really need that person now, Lord. Amen. She was wiping her eyes when a beat up old car pulled up to the curb and stopped in front of her. And a young man, 20-ish looking, in a t-shirt and ragged jeans, got out. The first thing she noticed about him was the long stringy hair and then the beard that hid everything south of his nose. And he was coming her way. When he drew near, she stepped in front of him and held out the wire coat hanger. Young man, she said, do you know how to get into a locked car with one of these? He gaped at her for a moment, then plucked the hanger from her hand. Where's the car? Telling the story that night, she said she had never seen anything like it. It was simply amazing how easily he got into her car. A quick look at the door and window and a couple of twists and the coat hanger and bam, just like that, the door was open. When she saw the door open, she threw her arms around him. Oh, she said, the Lord sent you. You're such a good boy. You must be a Christian. He stepped back and said, no, ma'am, I'm not a Christian and I'm not a good boy. I just got out of prison yesterday. She jumped at him and hugged him fiercely. Bless God, she cried. He sent me a professional. She hadn't just stood there. She had prayed something. I wonder, what do you need God to do for you this week? Even today? Our title this morning is Songs of Desperation. The lady was desperate. She didn't just stand there. She prayed something. You know, we're going to be looking in this next few weeks at some psalms. The psalms are full of songs, of prayers. In fact, the psalm we just read actually says at the top, a prayer of David. It's a song where he's desperate. And we're going to be looking through this series at a number of psalms, songs of freedom, we're calling them. And as we do that, we want to think about, as we start the new year, the ways in which, as a church, we want to be helping raise the next generation, as Amanda was saying, so that every generation is raising the next generation to be people who are free. That's our values as a church. Our vision is that every generation would be raising the next generation to be free, to be following Jesus, reaching out an extended family, doing everything in love. And really, you could look at these values through that lens of the last one, because if you like, in all of these, we want to do everything in love. We want to follow Jesus. We want to love him. We want to follow him because we love him, because he's worth it. And that's like our upward relationship with God. And we're going to be focusing on that this week as we think about prayer particularly. But also there's our kind of outward relationship, thinking about how we reach out to those around us. And then there's our kind of in relationship as an extended family with God's people. And in all of that, we want to do everything in love. And the Christian life and our lives and the lives of those we're raising need to have each of these aspects. Each one of these relationships is important. Of course, how we do one affects the others. You know, following Jesus impacts the other two. And that's why we're starting there today. And then in the next couple of weeks, we'll look at the in and the out of reaching out an extended family. But today, as we think about following Jesus, that upward relationship, prayer is vital. I once heard someone say that prayer, described it like this. Prayer is talking and listening to God. And we want to do both. And we've been doing both, even in this time. Prayer is talking and listening to God. And the strength of any relationship is fundamentally connected to how the communication is in that relationship. So how are you and God communicating at the moment? You know, I sometimes think in my own life, and I don't know, maybe you do in yours, that if prayer is really that amazing thing, when I can ask the God who made heaven and earth for anything, why don't I pray more? And at a time like this, I think, God, would you help me be like those blocks that Amanda so powerfully, helpfully and memorably described, that we would be those who do ourselves grow in prayer, that our instinct to pray would grow, our desire to pray would grow, and that we would be able to help others in that too. I've been helped by so many people in my growing in prayer, and one of the things that struck me this past year visiting my mother-in-law one time was seeing by her desk this little card. It just simply says, "Have you prayed about it yet?" Right by her desk. And I was struck because I thought it's so often easy to worry about things, to try and run around and do things, to fix things, to ask other people to help, and forget that we can ask God Almighty to help us. Have you prayed about it yet? Well, that's why our theme this week is growing in prayer, to be helping the next generation grow in prayer. And that's why as we go throughout this week, and do come back 4 o'clock tonight for that intergenerational prayer, your presence as adults is really helpful to inspire the younger generation to pray. And then at those Zoom times, I know there's some people who you regularly come along on those times. I want to say, if you've never connected with a Zoom prayer time in the church, let this be the week where one of those 7 a.m.s or 7 p.m.s, you think, oh, 7 o'clock, I'll join and pray with others. And maybe if you come regularly, why not specifically invite someone and say, hey, you should try it out. Come along one time. Don't worry, if you come once, you don't need to come every day. You can just come that once, but it'd be lovely to see us regularly praying together. So as we look in the mornings, we're going to look at Luke 11, and we're going to see some wonderful things in Luke 11 about how and what to pray in those morning prayer times. But today I want to look at the why. Why pray? Why do we pray? Psalm 86, as I've been meditating on it this past few weeks, has really struck me with 5 reasons for praying. And the first is this: it's our need. Our need. We've been thinking about that already in the service, and that's where the psalmist starts. He says, "Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy." I don't know what your need is, but to God, knew what you were sharing in your heart in that time in the service. I know as I look at the psalm here, I see him use this phrase, "I'm poor." There was obviously a lack in some way that he had, that he felt. Where do you feel that lack? Maybe for strength or wisdom or provision in some way. David knew what it was to be poor, to need God's provision, but he also needed God's protection. He goes on and says, "God, my life." Maybe you're feeling like you're in a battle at the moment. We'll think more about that in a bit. But, you know, he obviously knew that need for God's protection. And then he goes on and he says, "Bring joy to your servant," verse 4. Do you see that? "Bring joy to your servant." I find that so helpful because I know my life is meant to be one full of joy in the Lord, but not always, is it? And the Bible is very helpful because it presents us with real people who come and say, "God, bring joy to me because I need the joy that you alone can give." Maybe you're needing joy as you're coming into this year, just looking at the news or the challenges in your life or the lives of others that you know and love. And you think, "God, please fill me with your joy." You know, when we need things, when we lack, one of the challenges can be that we often look to the wrong things to put our hope and our trust in them. I mean, often when we need a problem, we need a solution, we go Google it, don't we? I mean, that's what we do. You know, I mean, it's a pretty powerful tool, but it's not the maker of heaven and earth. I mean, sometimes we think, "Well, I'll sort it. I know what I need to do. I just need to give it more time, more attention, more kazam." And it's often we look to ourselves, or we look at our bank account and think, "What can we throw at that money? Can we throw at that problem?" Sometimes it just all seems a bit overwhelming. And to be honest, the easiest solution is comfort eating. And we just think, "You know what? I just think more food's going to help this problem." In fact, in December, I heard someone say recently, we're told we need more stuff and more food. That's the kind of big message of society. You need more stuff and more food in December. By the time you get to January, the tune's changed, and now you need less food and more exercise. And actually, we're not getting told what we really need. What we really need is God and more of him. And that is what this week of prayer and fasting is about. He alone is the one who can meet our deepest and our greatest needs. And so that's why as we come to pray, we're also going to be thinking and looking at how do we fast. And I want to encourage you, do fast in the way that's going to work best for you. Often that can be taking a break from a meal that you would usually have and say, I'm going to give that time to not just watching the telly instead, but praying instead. Maybe it's going to be breakfast this week that you say, right, I'm not going to breakfast so I can come to that Zoom prayer time. Or maybe it's going to be a lunch thing where you say, right, during work, I'm just going to go for a walk and pray instead of just taking food at lunch. But often, actually, sometimes for medical reasons or for another reason, it's not wise to fast from food. And maybe there's something else. Often in our world at the moment, one of the biggest things that can chew up our time is digital kind of intake. And maybe you need to fast from something digitally or TV or something like that. And as you do that, your body will be kind of going to go, oh, I want more food or more, you know, social media, and actually let that kind of longing for that thing actually make you have, like the psalmist says, I call to you all day long. Let those kind of rumblings internally be like a prayer and remind you that you need God more than anything else. And the psalmist, right at the start, he really wonderfully says this twice. He says, look, I trust in you, he says. And again in verse 4, he says, bring joy to your servant, for I trust in you. I put my trust in you. And that is the place that we need to put our trust as we have needs in our life. And that brings us to the next reason why we pray, and that is because there is one who we can put our trust, who does want to help us. I love the way you said in your prayer, Becca, that God cares. He cares about us. In fact, the psalmist says in verse 5, you are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love. God's love is a reason to pray. Do you know God loves you more than you could possibly imagine? He is abounding in love for you. He wants you to draw close to him so he can give you and be good to you and forgive you and be gracious to you. If you want to know what his abounding love looks like, these words in the psalm, he's forgiving and good, just full of that in verse 15. In fact, it repeats that phrase, abounding in love. And this abounding love of God is what enables us to come as we really are. Prayer is about the real me meeting the real God. The abounding love of God means I don't need to first get my life all sorted before I come in prayer. I can come as I am. I come to the throne of grace. I come and ask for mercy, but I come confident. Look what the psalmist says in verse 7. For you will answer me. Why? Not because we deserve it, but because of God's love and that God cares. And as we come this morning, we're going to, later in our service, take hold of communion, this reminder that we are receiving from God what we don't deserve. We receive his love and grace and forgiveness. That God so loved me. God so loved you. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That is some love. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That is the good news we proclaim. That is how we best see the love of God. Look at Jesus. That's why we think about following Jesus, because he is the one who helps us see what God is like, that Jesus cares. You see that all the way through the Gospels. Jesus cares. I think as I look through history, as I look around the world today, there is no one I would rather follow than Jesus Christ. Amen? No one. He is the one who cares like no other, who loves like no other, who's gracious like no other. But it's not just his love. The psalmist goes on and talks of the greatness of God, which when you think about a reason to pray, it's quite good to ask people who know that they can do something about it. And the amazing thing about God in verse 8, 9, and 10 is it says, among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord, no deeds compared with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Not just does God care, God can. Not just do we see in the Gospels that Jesus cares, Jesus can. He can help us. That's why there's no one better to follow. There's no one better to talk to and ask. I've been thinking as I've come into the new year a lot about this little phrase, God is able. Do you know that God is able? There is nothing you're going to pray about or ask him about this week that he is not able to act in and help with. Wow. No wonder Jesus gives us these amazing invitations to say, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. And as we ask, as we remember his greatness, you know, let's let praise to this wonderful God be a kind of a default, a kind of huge deliberate act in our praying, whatever the struggle that we might be facing. In fact, in the midst of desperation, deliberately, David praises God in this middle of this psalm. I praise you, and all the nations are going to praise you for what you've done. You know, one of the things I clearly remember as I think about those stacking towers, someone who's helped me grow in my prayer has been a guy called Steve Wolford, who was part of another church, one of the church leaders at another church in the city. Some of you will know him. And I used to go to joint kind of prayer times with other leaders, and he'd be there and he'd praying. And I thought, God, I want to know you more like Steve does and learn to pray like Steve does. And I remember one time being in a prayer meeting, and he just shared this verse as we kicked it off. He shared Ephesians 3, verse 20, and he just said, now to him who is able, by the power at work within us, to do immeasurably more than abundantly than all we ask or think, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And I remember he said, he'd been thinking about that passage and reading just a little bit of John Stott's writing on it in this book called The Bible Speaks Today, Commentary on Ephesians. And this is what John Stott wrote, 7 reasons for us to kind of really kind of take hold of this God's ability to answer prayer. And he says there's kind of 7 stages to it. He is able to do or to work, for he is neither idle, inactive, or dead. God is able. And then he says, verse 2, he is able to do what we ask, for he hears and answers prayer. And then he said, verse 3, he is able to do what we ask or think, for he reads our thoughts, and sometimes we imagine things for which we dare not and therefore do not ask. 4th thing, God, he is able to do what we ask or think, for he knows it all and can perform it all. 5th thing, he is able to do more than hyper beyond all that we ask or think, for his expectations are higher than ours. 6th, he is able to do much more or more abundantly, for he does not give his grace by calculated measure. And lastly, he is able to do very much more abundantly than all we ask or think, for he is a God of super abundance. And so he said, right, let's pray. And he prayed with faith. Brothers and sisters, let's pray with faith, because God is able. Amen. Reason to pray? We need things. God is loving, abounding in love. He wants to give us things. God is great and he is able. And then just 4th, the psalmist comes back. He comes back to his own struggle. I don't know about you. Well, in fact, I'm pretty sure I do. Like me, I think you've got struggles. And the psalmist has struggles. In fact, he says in verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord. It's like he's not sure where to go, and I will walk in your truth. And then he says this, give me an undivided heart that I might fear your name. And I love that prayer, because I can relate to that. See, some of my struggles are internal. In fact, really, sometimes those are the greatest ones. We want who have wholehearted. We want, as the scripture says, to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's my longing. That's what I want. But it's not always the reality. And so God, give me an undivided heart. Lord, help me in my internal struggle. What's your internal struggle at the moment? But there is also external struggles. Look what he says. He says this. He says, Verse 14, the arrogant are attacking me, O God. A band of ruthless men seeks my life, men without regard for you. There's very real external struggles that we face. And that was certainly true for the psalmist. And what's interesting is in those struggles, what he does is he doesn't focus on them. He prays them and gives them to God. That's one of the reasons we pray, is because we struggle internally and externally. But what he does is he then moves on in verse 15 to think not just about his struggle, but about the God who's with him in his struggle. He says, quoting a bit of scripture that maybe is the clearest revelation of God in the Old Testament, it quoted from Exodus 34, he says, "But you, O God, are compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love," there's that again, "and faithfulness." Brothers and sisters, if you're in a struggle, a great thing to do is to pray the scriptures. A great thing to do is to pray things that are going to remind you what God is like, the God who is with you and I in our struggles. And as we pray, it's amazing what that does to us, because it reminds us that the struggle isn't just external. There is also the internal struggle. And so what he goes on and says is, "Turn to me and have mercy on me." He's not actually just praying, "God, give me justice from my enemies." There's a good prayer for justice, a right one. But in the psalm, three times, in verse 3, I think it is, and 6, and verse 16, he cries out, "Lord, have mercy." And this week, if you don't know what to pray, great prayer. Pray, "Lord, have mercy." In fact, I wondered if, with it being three times in the psalm, you and I could almost think, as we begin the day, let's cry out, "Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me." And as we end the day, let's cry out, "Lord, have mercy," and look for another point in the day. Maybe it's one of those times when it feels like it did for that woman, like everything's going wrong, and cry out, "Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me." I remember once when I was visiting Lebanon with Open Doors, an organization that we support as a church, and they'd managed to have an Orthodox priest come out of Syria. And this was about 7 years ago, and I remember it so clearly. And he was telling a bunch of us who were visiting, and he was telling us what it's like when he had been captured by ISIS and held hostage and threatened regularly with death while blindfolded. Here's someone with an external struggle, if any of you there was one. And yet when he said what he prayed, in that time when your kind of mind's a fog and you're worried and scared, he said, "I just prayed over and over again, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me." Brothers and sisters, this week of prayer and fasting, whatever else we pray, let's pray that. "God, would you have mercy on us?" We need his mercy, because God responds to those who look to him for mercy. And that's then the last and final thing, just very briefly, our testimony. David ends this psalm. He says this, "Give me a sign of your goodness, that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me." It's amazing, the tense changes right in that last line. "You have helped me and comforted." God, this is my testimony. "You have helped me and comforted me." I think about my own life as I come into this week, and I look back and I think, you know what? God has helped me and comforted me in the past. Anyone else be able to say that? God, yes, you've helped me. Yeah, look at these folks around. God has helped them and comforted them. We've known something of God's help. Even just before that, he talks about his mum who served the Lord. And I want to just honor those who I've seen pray for me. And I think of my mum who's prayed for me so faithfully, and her testimonies of answers to prayer. And I think of church history and the Bible full of testimonies, and they build our faith. They remind us why we pray, because God does hear and act. I mean, it was a funny story at the beginning, but it's true. She was in a car park, desperate, prayed, "God, would you send someone who knows how to open up a door?" And he brought someone. Wow. Let's pray, because we've got testimonies of when we pray, of how God answers prayer. He brings us signs of his goodness. And if you're thinking, "Well, I've been praying this for years, I need to see a sign of God's goodness." Well, there's one place you and I can look to and see a sign of his goodness like no other sign. It's so wonderful. You couldn't imagine this sign. If you're in any doubt that God knows our need and meets our need, look at this sign. It's
is the cross. What our world, what you most needed, what I most needed was a Savior. Our deepest need is our sin, to be forgiven, to be covered. And Jesus came and he forgave my sin and yours. This is the biggest sign of his goodness and mercy. This sign that we're about to remember together, to give testimony as we hold on to it and take it, to say, yes, God, you have helped me. You have comforted me. You have died for me. You have not just died, but you're alive and you reign forever and ever. You have been victorious over sin and death. We have a sign of his goodness. Do you want to take hold of it afresh this morning? Do you want to come and say, yes, I believe in you. I receive again, that faith might grow, that you might help me pray. And so we're going to do just that. I'm going to invite the band to come up, and as the band are going to lead us in worship, we're going to kind of come and kind of physically move to take hold of this sign of God's goodness that we're remembering in communion. There's places at the front and the black shelf area there and up on the balconies as well. And if you believe in the Lord Jesus, or if you want to believe, if you want to say, yeah, I want to know Jesus' salvation and grace in my life, this is for you. These little packets have a little bit of juice that reminds us of Jesus' shed blood for us, and a little bit of bread that reminds us of his body broken. And you know, it sometimes does us good to move, to receive. You know, when Jesus called the disciples and said, follow me, they left their nets and followed him. You and I might not need to leave our nets, but this week, if we're going to pursue Jesus more, if we're to meet him more in prayer, we might have to leave some of the things we'd usually do, some of our usual rhythms, to leave them and take hold of something better, to take hold of him. And so maybe as we sing, this could be a little sign of our faith, our stepping forward, our saying, yeah, I'm willing, God. I want to meet with you this week. Come and I want to receive. So we're just going to end this song as Shay sings. We're just going to come forward and I'm going to lead us in a prayer as we receive communion together. So should we just stand if you're able? And let me pray. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, we acknowledge our need and our struggles, both internal and external. But we remember your love and your greatness. We remember the cross, your love poured out for us there. And Lord, we want to take hold of it now afresh by faith. We want to come and receive. Lord, build faith in us, I pray. We come to the cross afresh to you, to follow you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.